most important issues of the day. This is the Rick Smith Show.
I'm loving some of the pictures coming out of NATO, especially the one of Trump looking the other way. Still have no idea what it is he's looking at. Everyone's looking off to the left, and you got Trump looking off who knows where. Oh, look, a squirrel. I don't know. There, the point. There it goes. Very, very interesting thing. And then the ripping on Germany, which. You know, I kind of get, but you know, is that the place for it? And then to Merkel's face, not so much. Very, very interesting stuff. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on what's going on around the world in Washington, D.C., Justin Duckham, Talk Media News. Justin, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, great to be here. You know, I think the NATO photo really just shows that he is going to be somebody who's not going to be constrained by the globalist deep state. We know from the facts that if you tell Trump not to look at the sun during a solar eclipse, he will look at the sun. If you tell Trump not to congratulate Putin, he will congratulate Putin enthusiastically. So this is just another instance of him showing that he is going to be sort of a global leader and ahead of a curve when it comes to, you know, not following lockstep with certain things like looking the same direction as other world leaders.
Yeah, he's a maverick, right? Is that where we're going?
Absolute maverick. He is draining the swamp here. It is dry as a bone.
So did you see the little chiding that Trump gave to Germany to the UN the UN president?
The NATO Secretary General.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
During a working lunch today at NATO for the annual conference that they hold in Brussels, the annual summit rather, and to make this all the more fun, this was over breakfast. So just some light breakfast conversation in which you attack one of the long-standing U.S. allies. This is over his frustration with Germany signing an oil deal with Russia to build a pipeline under the Baltic Sea that would help transfer Russian oil into German markets. And this is something that Trump said basically just wasn't fair, saying that the allies are paying a large amount of money to essentially defend the Western world from Europe, and then you have Germany making a deal on the sidelines. Obviously Trump is somebody who has been more than willing to signal happy, friendly notions towards Russia, saying that, you know, it's important for relations to grow, but apparently another country getting involved in that is something that he would not stand for. So a pretty awkward interaction, one that got the summit off to a very rocky start, and one that, you know, he ultimately didn't seem to faze him when he had a one-on-one meeting with Merkel, saying that it went great, but something that he decided to take to again when he got on Twitter after it was all over and he had some downtime and essentially laid out his argument again. So there we go.
Did you see Kelly's face? I mean, I was watching Kelly and I was watching Kay Bailey Hutchinson and I was watching Pompeo there. And Pompeo just was like, don't make a move. Don't. He just had this look of, I can't let anybody see what I'm thinking. And Kelly was like, oh my God. And he was just, you could see he was visibly uncomfortable.
You know, the Washington Post actually reported on that, very obvious sign of discomfort coming from John Kelly. And according to the White House, the message that they gave him was that John Kelly wasn't really disturbed by what the president was saying, but was actually frustrated that he didn't have a full breakfast as he was initially led to believe for that meeting. And that sounds like something I'm making up to be funny, but that's actually what the Washington Post reported. Apparently, John Kelly was expecting to have, you know, eggs and a full breakfast, but instead just had fruit and cheese. And that facial expression apparently coincided with him being hungry, I guess. So, frankly, I'm not really sure if I believe that, but that is the official White House message that they are sending out.
It's kind of like staying at a hotel where they tell you there's a full breakfast and all you get is a muffin in a bag.
Oh, yeah. No, I've threatened people for, you know, things worse than that at hotel breakfast.
So, I'm going to give them this one. Because I've been there. I know I've been expecting breakfast, and they bring out some crummy prepackaged muffin. It's always blueberry, and I hate blueberry muffins. So, yeah, I completely get it, especially if they brought out cheese, because I don't eat cheese either. So, you know, bad blueberry muffin cheese, you're going hungry till lunch. I get the anger.
Well, you know, also, you know, I'm somebody who lives in D.C., and D.C. has a very strong, very big, almost deeply religious lunch culture, or brunch culture, rather. And I've ordered, you know, certain things that sounded like they were going to be big, hearty meals, like, you know, hash browns Benedict and whatnot, and just got, you know, a piece of toast with some kind of meat puree smeared on that. So, you know, I'm well acquainted with disappointment, and I, you know, have had those similar instances where I just kind of throw my hands up and I'm devastated. So maybe we'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but it doesn't explain Pompeo and Kay Bailey Hutchinson, who were just sitting there with this mortified look, almost like, you know, like they were statues. A couple of times I had to look at them and go, are they alive? Someone take the pulse. Just standing there like statues going, I can't show any expression. Like they were about to explode.
I mean, this is something that has basically been a running theme of the Trump presidency, the fact that he is impulsive and, you know, he oftentimes just sort of decides new things to be mad about just sort of on the fly. And, you know, considering the fact that the White House has expressed very strongly that the president was, you know, preparing for this summit ahead of time, you know, spent the weekend over in Bedminster apparently going over it, according to White House spokespeople, you know, this shouldn't have come to a surprise of what the president was going to say, but judging from the facial expressions, this was certainly something that, you know, took a lot of people by surprise.
Yeah, and by preparing, you mean they left clues at each one of the 18 holes?
I mean,
just kind of throwing that out there.
No, I mean, that's sort of the message that we get from the White House a lot. You know, I don't think we've really ever gotten any, or not many at least, you know, public affirmations that somebody had actually been golfing with him or that he, you know, actually spent time on the links. I think they kind of expect us to, you know, imagine that he's there and just sort of hanging out in the clubhouse and, you know, studying there, even though, you know, nobody's really buying it. So it's a weird little kabuki dance that we get every week.
Not buying it whatsoever. Let's move along. The sales pitch has begun. You know, Kavanaugh's the greatest guy. He's a great bat. He's like Coach K. He's a good dad in the carpool lane. He helps serve the poor. He's a wonderful person, Justin. Why would anyone possibly be against this guy on the Supreme Court?
Yeah, I mean, just a lot of that today. And he did go to Capitol Hill for the second time, you know, taking place today, meeting with members of the Judiciary Committee. He had about five racked up by the end of the day. This follows his first jaunt up to the Capitol, where he met with Mitch McConnell. And McConnell expressed a lot of optimism that things are going to be going smoothly. But nevertheless, we have gotten a lot of signs coming from, you know, Senate Democrats that they are going to be pushing back against this very heavily. The new goal right now is to try to secure all of the writing that he had produced under the Bush administration and, I guess, to a certain extent, the Clinton administration when he was working as an aide for Bush and then prior to that for Kenneth Starr. Something that, you know, probably won't strong enough to derail the confirmation process beyond the midterm elections, but will, I guess, at least prolong the inevitable and, you know, I guess send the message to the base that Democrats are at least, you know, willing to try to fight this.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, this guy's just everything that's wrong with conservatism and the direction we're going to go as a country. I'm very concerned about the future for my kids. Just is what it is. And I know I've got all these right-wingers going, you lost. This is what happens when you lose. Yeah, I get the whole losing thing, but having the whole 20th century repealed, I don't know that I'm all in favor of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that are up there that are just at risk right now. There's, you know, some major concern over what his appointment would mean for, you know, government agencies to issue regulations. That's something that he's fought back against pretty heavily, you know, essentially decrying this sort of, you know, additional extra branch of American, you know, politics beyond the executive and beyond the congressional or legislative that can just kind of set policy unilaterally and without supervision. That's something that's pretty bizarre on the face of it. Of course, you know, there is a lot of concerns over reproductive rights. You know, he previously said that as a district court appeal judge that he would respect the precedent that has been set previously by Roe versus Wade. And, you know, a lot of people have been trying to find a moderate silver lining and pointed to that, but that misses the context that, you know, that wasn't a question directly related to, you know, serving on the Supreme Court. So a lot of concern over that, a lot of concern over the fact that he is going to be filling over or filling in for somebody who has been a pretty reliable swing vote when it comes to a lot of social issues. And that has certainly given quite a few Democrats reason to pause.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. The other side of this is maybe this is what we need. Maybe a good dose of good old-fashioned rock-bottom conservatism smacked you across the back of the head. Maybe it wakes people up. You know, the old Labor saying, when your stomach gets empty, your head gets right. Maybe this is what we need as a country.
I mean, maybe, but we've seen a lot of promises being put forward by conservatives that are supposed to be populist, and they somehow don't necessarily seem to help people themselves. So yeah. I'm not sure if I necessarily share that view on this one.
Well, don't have much of a choice. That's my problem. I'm trying to find the positive in this. And the positive, the only thing I can come up with that's positive is a whole bunch of people are going to be harmed. People are going to lose health insurance. Workers are going to lose rights. Consumers are going to get screwed. Just down the list. And the only positive I can come out of that is everyone's going to be angry. And maybe they're going to be angry at conservatives for doing this. And maybe they pay an electoral price for the next, at least two or three cycles. Since we have amnesia, I'm not all that hopeful, but that's the only positive I can come up with.
Well, another bright side, of course, is he is a good carpool captain. So maybe he'll start giving rides to the justices. That's 8 fewer cars on the road. And there you go. That's a cause for celebration, I guess.
Because he does believe climate change is real, but that's not going to really help us since he's not willing to do anything about it. Anyway, let's move on. Evidently, Paul Ryan gave Jim Jordan a vote of confidence, huh?
Yeah, he was asked about this today. While we are continuing to get mounting allegations from those who were on the wrestling team when Jim Jordan was an assistant coach and have said that Jim Jordan knew about incidents of sexual abuse. And Paul Ryan today basically said that he is standing by Jim Jordan, saying that he is somebody who considers him a friend, pretty much urging people to stand off. And then I guess a bigger deal today is he said that it wouldn't necessarily be correct for the House Ethics Committee to take a look at this since these allegations took place before he ended up joining the House. That's something that, it hasn't necessarily been the standard for a lot of other lawmakers when we take a look at these things, and probably doesn't stand up now. On his front, Jim Jordan is continuing to maintain his innocence and also lashed out at CNN today after there, was some catching of wind in his office that people were calling about 100-plus former staffers and interns for him, something that he said was an act of desperation, but something that a lot of reporters quickly pointed out was basically just bare-bones reporting and the exact opposite of fake news, since this was an attempt to collect some additional facts.
Interesting. I've been talking about this a little bit, and he could have gotten out of this very simply of going, at the time, who knew? Who knew that would happen? We heard rumors in the locker room talk. I'm sure you've heard that. It was locker room talk. Anytime you go see this doctor, drop your drawers. Didn't think much of it. It was the head coach's responsibility, something. But to say that they're all liars, I struggle with.
Yeah, it's a strange sort of line of defense he's gotten on. This has kind of thrown him off his game to a large extent. He is a very combative individual. He was arguing today that he is somebody who has stood up to Speaker Boehner when Boehner was Speaker, even though they are from the same state. Somebody who has, pushed back time and time again against orthodoxy, and certainly would have, fought back if he was concerned about students being, violated. But I think that line of reasoning probably also betrays the fact of why he has been, pretty evasive on this front and hasn't really been able to answer some of the very, very obvious questions that this has posed. I think he realizes his reputation and realizes what would happen if he was to, essentially admit a mistake in this era where everybody has to be more Trump and more powerful and more, I don't want to say hands-on because that sounds a little inappropriate in this thing, but just tougher than everybody else.
Yeah, I get that. But, the thing is you're in the era of Trump. Just admit it. This is what gets me about politicians. He's now married to they're all liars. Instead of, coming out with whatever rationale, whatever reason, you know, I went through it too, you know, something. I didn't think it was a big deal. I don't know, something. But, you know, take that position, very, very troubling. And now he's stuck to the lie. And now it only gets bigger.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of enrolling in the, you know, usual manner that we see Washington scandals, particularly when there's an initial denial, this sort of slow rollout of more people coming forward, and then just the, you know, cover story becoming more and more implausible. So, you know, it's something I've seen a lot, something I'm sure you've seen a lot, something I'm sure all of your listeners are aware of, and just a sad, difficult situation.
Yeah, messed up. Should have just told the truth from the beginning. Justin, appreciate the time, man.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Good stuff. Our good friend Justin Duckham, Talk Media News. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.